from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, Oakland Mayor Gene Quant held a public safety summit on Saturday, less than a week after Police Chief Anthony Batts announced his resignation. Mayor Quant and new acting chief Howard Jordan unveiled a plan to focus enforcement on a 100-block area.
These are the blocks where for the last 5 years, 90% of the murders and the shootings and the violent crimes in this city have taken place.
Meanwhile, mail-in voting begins today in Oakland on a parcel tax, which would help fund public safety. An hour all about Oakland and its police force, public safety, and the city politics behind it all. Forum is next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. There was a summit held at Laney College over the weekend in the aftermath of Oakland Police Chief Anthony Batts stepping down, and the summit was indeed on the whole question of what to do about getting concern in Oakland and problems with public safety. It was all about the concern of an increase in crime. And a special election actually begins officially today with mail-in voting to decide whether to adopt an $80 parcel tax. Measure I would extend funding for police programs in Oakland. Homicide and violent crime is up in Oakland. There had been a steady decrease, but it is going up again. And when Police Chief Batts stepped down, he cited serious problems with the city's bureaucracy and lack of police officers, resources, and tools. He's been replaced by Assistant Chief Howard Jordan, who was named interim chief. This forum hour, we want to focus on the ongoing struggles over the number of police officers in Oakland and the politics behind the stories. We have Mayor Gene Quant with us, and I hope you're not as marble mouthed as I've been here to begin this program. Gene, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Good morning, Mike. It's always a pleasure to be on Forum. I listen frequently.
Please.
Can I just talk about a couple of things based
sure.
on your lead? Crime has been down for the last 5 years, but obviously it's still way too high. And this year, while other crimes might be coming down, the violent crimes, last year we had our decade-low amount of murders. And this year it started to bounce up. We're about where we were 2 years ago. But since August, after I was able to negotiate with the police union and get them to contribute to their pensions, I was able to bring back about 28 officers. I had brought in 10 at the beginning of the year when I became mayor by reorganizing the budget. And we just won a federal grant. We got the highest ranking and the largest grant in the country for a COPS 2 grant that's going to focus particularly around middle schools and around young people, giving them safe passage to schools, but also time to meet and work with young people in the community. They'll be walking around those schools. They're going to be going and visiting the schools, et cetera. So even though we don't have as many officers as we'd like in California, because generally our officers are much more expensive, in Oakland we've increased the number of officers since January. And if Measure I passes, I'll be able to at least maintain that number and maybe add a few more.
There was a police officer number of 800 that's dropped down to 650, though, before you've been able to add some more recently, correct?
Yeah, we're right now today, I think, at 653. And then we'll have 24 more coming soon.
Well, let's talk about, first of all, this summit that was held that I mentioned at Laney College. I know it was concerning parole and probation, policing, criminal prosecution, public schools, a whole lot of things.
And you're going to have two of the reporters who cover Oakland, I think.
Right.
They were there. I know Sean Maher was there. We have been working for several months about seeing what can we do in these new times. We have less money. We have the legislature constantly taking money from the cities and now returning more of prisoners back to the localities. What can we do? And what's exciting about the plan is that it brings together the school strategic plan, the district attorney's focus, and the probation department, Oakland Housing Authority, and dozens of local groups that work particularly with young people in trouble and with people coming back from prisons, and tries to coordinate that plan and focus on the 100 blocks in Oakland where pretty much 90% of all the violence and the shootings and the murders have taken place over the last 5 years. We've been doing a lot of GIS work. We've been looking at the patterns. Some of these patterns go back a decade. And by coordinating in GreenNet, we're going to put our first services there, and I'm going to put all the new extra services or of officers we got. We've started to already put it there. And until this weekend, the murder rate had dropped significantly from July and had sort of slowed down to where we were last year. That works, but we don't think that's sustainable unless we also go in and also put in more job training programs, more intervention programs around truancy, more counseling programs for, excuse me, I got a cold, more people who are coming back from prisons and kids who are getting out of probation. And all of these agencies have agreed to focus in these 100 blocks. And so that's what's new. That's what I think is actually pretty exciting. We talk about it, but we've actually now defined those blocks. And from the city point of view, it just won't be law enforcement. It will be everything. It will be public works will pick up the litter and do the graffiti there first. The libraries will do special programs to reach out for literacy and for other kids who are having trouble. We're going to basically have an all-hands-on-deck approach to these 100 blocks.
It sounds promising. I have to ask you, though, we're talking Mayor Gene Kwan, Oakland mayor, about law enforcement, because when Anthony Betts stepped down, he said he had limited control but full accountability, and he was also, availing himself of some complaints about you ordering him not to speak before the city council when it took up the anti-gang
that's injustice. Just not correct. Ms. Santana, I think, already put out a statement to she and I did meet with him ahead of time to find out. Because the issues that were put by the council members and from the council hadn't had a chance to be reviewed by anybody, not by the police department, not by the city attorney. And we had a discussion to say, well, what should our position be towards it? But he was specifically asked to go and speak and not to send somebody else. And so you can check with the city administrator on that.
What about his statement that there's just too much bureaucracy, there's too little control and too few resources, too much indecision to really combat crime?
You know, I think you should talk to Howard Jordan. I think he's willing to come on, and you have his number. I think you're going to plug him in later, what he thinks. We are doing community policing. This is not where one person gets to say, gets to do, you know, be basically the only person has to say. We're caught in an interesting place. As you know, I also have a federal judge over me. So, you know, I have 400,000 people looking over my shoulder every day. But a police chief in an urban area, you know, has to be able to talk to the council, talk to, we have a community policing advisory board. We have a lot of people. We have 1,000 people who are out this weekend trying to help us figure out what's the best thing that we can do. We know we're a city that doesn't always agree on everything. But if we, as David Muhammad, the chief of probation, said this weekend, if we could at least unite around what we do agree, we're going to make a big difference.
Gene Kwan, mayor of Oakland, thank you for joining us.
So thank you very much, and please feel free to call me anytime.
All right. Well, we are going to call Acting Police Chief Jordan. In fact, I think we have him on the line here. He's interim police chief of the Oakland Police Department. Chief Jordan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of static on the line, too.
Yeah, I can hear some of that static as well. We'll get you on a new line, and I'll introduce the two reporters we have here in studio. And by the way, just to clarify what Mayor Kwan was talking about, negotiated settlement agreement is near the deadline. There's a possible federal takeover of the Oakland Police Department if they're not in compliance, and we'll be talking about that as well. That's Judge Felton Henderson's order, as I suppose certainly all residents of Oakland are well aware. Here with us in studio, we'll get the acting chief on the line here, but Sean Maher, who covers Oakland City Hall for the Oakland Tribune. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we also have with us Mathaiku Ravila, who is staff writer who covers Oakland City Hall for the San Francisco Chronicle. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you both for being here. Let's actually maybe, Mathaiku, you can break this down for us a little bit. That is in terms of what this means of Felton Henderson's decision and how this really presents itself in the whole thing we're trying to sort out here about police. And
Felton Henderson is overseeing an agreement between the
police department and the city, of course, and the civil litigants in regards to the Ryder's case, which was a group of officers who were accused of various misdeeds in Oakland. And that's been going—
These are the settlement conditions.
These are settlement conditions. And over the past few years, there's been, and this year, there's been increasing concern on the part of Henderson and also the court monitor that the police department is slipping. And there's a hearing on January 26th at which, you know, the city has got a lot of attention focused on that to show Henderson that they are in compliance.
We're going to talk more about that and more about the whole situation in Oakland with the two reporters who were with us. I do believe we have a good line, I hope, with Chief Jordan now. Are you there, Howard Jordan?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you again for joining us. Appreciate you being with us. I guess the real question initially to ask you is, in the wake of the statements from Chief Batts, what do you have to say about the fact that he says there's just too much bureaucracy? As police chief, he couldn't do his job. Now you're moving in and saying, what, I guess you can do the job?
Well, you know, Oakland is a very, it's no different from other large cities in America. The fact is we have been working on a comprehensive crime-fighting strategy. As you remember, when Chief Batts got here, we developed a strategic plan. And that strategic plan is actually in line with the mayor's citywide plan. And we've actually been doing a number of things over the last year or so, specifically more closely to this summer in regards to combating crime or fighting crime effectively. And a lot of those challenges are things that you have to expect in a big city, whether it's resources, funding, or any of those things. And I'm not going to comment on Chief Batts' personal opinion because that's his opinion. I can just tell you that from my perspective, moving forward, we intend to work closely with all of our stakeholders, including the mayor and the city council, and my immediate boss, Ms. Santana, to get us the resources necessary to reduce violent crime in Oakland.
But you don't feel there's too much of an impediment with too many people to report to or too many hoops to go through or that sort of thing?
You know, I did this job for 9 months and prior to Chief Batts arriving here. And I learned a lot during those 9 months. I learned how to deal with a lot of those issues. Those issues, as I mentioned, aren't unique to Oakland. These are things that I think you would come to expect in a big city. And it's just a matter of how you deal with them. You have to prioritize. And I don't have any, I don't see any impending issues to us getting to where we need to get to, which is, one, get into compliance with the settlement agreement, reduce crime, and also build trust in the community. A lot of the framework for that has already been in place, and there was no one person that has been standing in our way of getting that done.
Do you have enough resources, do you think? I mean, particularly with the loss of police officers, numbers are way down.
You know, we could always use help. We can use help from anywhere, you know, whether it's the community, whether it's the federal government, whether it's the county agencies. There's always room for help. We're fortunate enough to have had the return of a number of our officers. We have received a federal grant to hire the 25 officers back, which is one of the largest rewards that was given to any police agency in the country. And so things are starting to look better. I mean, in an ideal world, you know, yeah, we would like to have 1,000 officers, but I know that's not economically feasible. But where we are able to get officers back and they are returning, and our federal partners and our state and local partners are making efforts to support us, we have had a tremendous success in getting that help.
One final question for you, Chief Jordan, and that is, under your leadership, you said at the summit that was held at Laney College this weekend that you really need to get public trust and build public trust. How do you intend to do that?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do, and we've been having a lot of discussions here in the last month or so, is find out what are some of the cultural barriers to building public trust, both on the police side and on the community side. And so once we understand what that is, then I think we will be working to address those on both sides of the equation.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
That's Acting Chief Howard Jordan, Interim Police Chief, the Oakland Police Department. And I'm going to talk with Sean Maher and Mathai Kuruvilla now, both from the Oakland Tribune and the San Francisco Chronicle. And Sean, you were at the public summit, yeah?
I was this weekend.
And you said kind of mixed reviews you give it?
Well,
and how much original came out, first of all?
The focus on neither side actually was really new ideas. There was a lot of talk of hotspot policing, for example, focusing on these blocks where the bulk of the crime happens. And I don't think no one thinks that that's a revolutionary idea. That's obviously been around as long as police departments have been around. The focus from Kwan's camp is that this isn't about doing things in a revolutionary new way. It's about doing them smarter. It's about communicating better. The word silos kept coming up, that every department that's working on this is doing so in kind of its own little world. And the hope, I think, was to get everyone in the same room and everybody on the same page so that they're not doubling up efforts or doing anything that's redundant. That was frustrating to a lot of the people that I talked to who were in attendance. A lot of them felt like, well, okay, that's all well and good, but things haven't been working. There's been a decrease in crime, sure, over the last several years, but there's still 100 people in Oakland killed every year. And they, I think, were looking for an emphasis certainly on getting more police officers in. A lot of people are really concerned about that. And
well, like Chief Jordan said, though, I mean, getting 28 is a big deal, I mean, in terms of getting federal money. Where are they going to get more police officers?
Well, at the same time that that's coming in, I mean, you've got an attrition rate of anywhere between 3 and 5 officers a month.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk about getting a police academy done, which is going to cost something in the order of $4 million and take about a year and a half to get any boots on the street. The average academy is going to bring in only somewhere around 32 officers, 30 to 32, according to a conversation I had with Jordan a couple days ago. So in the amount of time that takes to get them on the force, you got just as many guys walking out the door.
So, Mathai, what's your sense of how this is working politically? That is, Acting Chief Jordan sounded like he's on board where Mayor Kwan is concerned, as opposed to Chief Batts, who just resigned. It seems as if Chief Batts thought elected officials were micromanaging too much, and there's been criticism about the politics and the rivalry, really, between Chief Batts and Gene Kwan. Some have said both wanted the limelight. How is this going to work now with Chief Jordan?
We don't know. I mean, obviously, everybody's saying nice things about each other, but the press conferences were really interesting. On Tuesday, Batts resigns. Mayor Kwan was very quiet, refused to take questions, stood with her arms crossed. On Thursday, Jordan has his he's sworn in by Mayor Kwan, and Mayor Kwan effuses over him, talks about how Jordan walks the streets with her. He's the kind of police chief we need. He knows kids. He knows that our toughest critics are kids. That's what Howard Jordan is good at dealing with. So she's presenting Howard Jordan as the chief who is most like her. The questions that are going to come up are, will she allow Howard Jordan to disagree with her? And what happens when he disagrees with her? Does the police chief, as Bat said, will the chief be allowed to be the chief? We don't know that yet. So there's a lot of work to be done.
With the limited resources in general, Sean Maher, there's been a good deal of criticism, not only about how much should be put into the police. Now I've got this parcel tax, so let's sort of bring that into the equation because we need to. But also that Oakland should be concentrating on education and jobs. We keep hearing that as well from Oakland residents.
You do hear that a lot, and that is something actually that the mayor herself speaks about quite a bit. The parcel tax that's voting starts on today is part of that plan. Around the time that the city was trying to resolve its budget crisis in June and July, she had brought this up as a way of bringing in about $11 million a year for the next 5 years. And the proposals right now are to spend about half of that on police and the rest of it going to different social services, to the libraries, to parks and rec. I think in hopes of returning some city jobs that were cut in July when the city closed its budget gap. And in terms of jobs, it's a tough issue. The focus, I think, right now is on employing children, particularly during the summer. We saw a huge spike in violence over the summer, which is not unusual. It happens when kids get out of school for the summer and don't have anything to do with the day. So at the same time, federal money for employment programs in Oakland over the summer was cut this year. So it didn't take anybody by surprise that violence was going to be so high over the last few months.
Well, we should also mention, I think, Mathai Kuruvilla, that spending percentages are not on the ballot, so and they're not binding either. Critics are saying, you know, it's a blank check. What is this? Huh?
Yeah. No, I mean, the Measure I gives broad categories in which the money has to be spent. But, you know, whether it could be $1 million on police or $10 million on police, it's unclear. And in a city where people have a certain amount of cynicism and distrust about how their city council spends money, that kind of framework is a huge source of criticism.
Yeah, there's also been a huge source of, a huge amount of criticism about the city council. Let's get your reading on this, Sean Maher. I mean, how the city council, in terms of really what's coming down or what's coming out in Oakland, these kind of battles that are going on, what's their role, as you see?
Well, the council has taken a position in this year of kind of being the yay or nay voice on things like gang injunctions, which have been a hugely controversial police issue. And some think one of the things that ended up driving bats out of town. The council split pretty well down the middle on it. You have some more progressive members who feel that, you know, giving police additional power to arrest or to detain folks that live in Oakland is dangerous because it aggravates the relationship between the community and the police. And then you have about half the council as well who feels that the priority needs to be letting police do exactly what they need to do to keep the people in the neighborhood safe. What I heard over and over from members of the council when Bats quit was that he had expressed several times that the police department needs more priorities and needs more tools, but that he had never really laid out a plan that let them understand what his priorities were, that he was asking essentially for everything. And in a city that has dwindling resources on almost everything.
He wasn't part. Really lasering in or in terms of this is what we need most, or he wasn't establishing that kind of priority.
He wasn't in public anyway. Yeah. The chief or the principal advocate for the gang injunctions had been our city attorney who quit in June, also over some conflicts with the city council and with the mayor. And when he left, I think the expectation was that Chief Bats would step up and be the new champion of that issue. And that just never seemed to be something he wanted to do.
You want to add something here, Mathai?
Well, I just wanted to be clear that, what we have right now on the council is a lot of different opinions. Mayor Kwan may have her plan, but we have, at the last meeting there were three things discussed. There was gang injunctions, curfews, and a loitering ordinance. And where the council stands on those three issues as a whole, we don't know. We have Nancy Nadell talking about restorative justice, Desley Brooks talking about increasing street lighting, Jane Bruner talking about how snitching is a problem.
It's very fragmented. Yeah.
Very fragmented city council.
Well, I'm going to invite those of you listening to join this conversation. We're talking about Oakland and all the events in recent days here. Can't forget, of course, the negotiated settlement agreement also near its deadline. If you'd like to join the conversation, you're invited to do that. Our toll-free number is available to you. It's 866-733-6786. We do welcome your calls. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post a question or comment on our website simply by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on the segment. You can also send your questions or comments to us by Facebook. Again, our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Oakland has sworn in a new police chief, Howard Jordan. I have to get used to, again, saying Chief Jordan. I've said it for years with Frank. He's heading the police department and replacing Chief Anthony Batts, who announced his departure just 2 days earlier. And in this Forum Hour, we're talking about public safety in Oakland, including this week's special election to decide whether Oakland will adopt a parcel tax to extend funding for police programs. We spoke to Interim Chief Jordan. We also spoke to Mayor Gene Kwan. And with us for the hour is Sean Maher, who is a reporter who covers Oakland City Hall for the Oakland Tribune, and Mathai Kuravilla, who is a staff writer who covers Oakland City Hall for the San Francisco Chronicle. And we're going to get you involved, that is, you, our listeners, and do that in just a moment here. But I want to go back to this negotiated settlement, because the deadline is nearing and it's getting imminent. How's that stacking up as you see it, Mathai?
Just to put the context forward, the city's compliance is so important with this settlement agreement that people are fearing that by January 26th, what they want to avoid is being taken over by the federal government in some larger way. So that could be crippling to the city in any number of ways, one of the most prominent being they would lose control over how much money is spent on police, and that's already their biggest expense. And so that could have rippling ramifications over many other departments. And that's what council members have been telling me.
Can I add anything here, Sean?
Well, I think it's also important to look at where this has happened before. The same judge who's going to be making the decision whether or not to put the Oakland Police Department under federal control did the same thing to the California state prison system in 2005.
Judge Felton Henderson.
Judge Felton Henderson, yeah. And he had a lot of the same things to say about the prison system's medical services. That seemed like there was an intractable systemic problem, that reform just wasn't possible from inside, and he put it under receivership. It's been there ever since, and there's no clear exit plan for when that's going to end. The receiver who's in control of those services right now is estimating that it'll take anywhere between 5 to 10 years to make the reforms, and then just as long again to make sure that they'll be sustainable. So you could be looking at 20 years of having outside control and as Mathai brought up, no control over how much money ends up getting spent.
But what could be the timeline on this if they're not in compliance in terms of federal takeover? Worst case scenario, I guess, from the perspective of the Oakland Police.
Well, the hope, as Mathai pointed out, the hope right now is to have enough progress to show the judge in January that that he eases up just a little bit. But the deal that they're under right now expires in July.
And that would mean federal takeover would follow on the heels of that?
That's not certain. There have been a few extensions already of the agreement, which was originally reached almost 9 years ago now.
Let's bring our callers on. We go first to you, Max in Oakland. Hi.
Hey, how you doing? Hi, Mathai. Hi, Sean. How you doing? I got three things to say, three quick points. One is that I think there's an obsession with consensus from this mayor, and I don't think there actually is a consensus. So, you know, what leadership actually means is, in that situation, is to decide what to do and go forward regardless of consensus. I also think that the mayor's had issues with trying to minimize the problem. So, you know, when Chuy Campos's daughter got up in front of cameras a while back and wept and expressed grief and fear that her father had been murdered, there's a report from the New York Times that the mayor asked her after that the camera stopped rolling to be careful about what she says because we were worried about the image of Oakland. And to me, that's denial. It's almost sociopathic, and it's a serious problem. Also, I've seen a lot of evasion of controversy. So there was a gang injunction hearing a few months ago that was probably the single most controversial moment in the season, the political season. And the mayor basically sat out the meeting. And as a matter of fact, she spent the better part of the meeting or a part of the meeting with some of the gang members. But she avoided talking to the public. And I'm just wondering, you know, at what point is the public going to get fed up with this level of evasion? And do the reporters see that, or am I just pushing my slant here? Because I see anger from both sides, but I see less of the anger from people who were set up with crime getting acknowledged in council chambers. It's more in the news.
Max, thank you for the call. Actually, I saw the New York Times piece, too, that he spoke of, and it certainly was not very favorable in the way it presented Mayor Kwan in that instance. But also, what about collective leadership? And he's kind of asking, how do you judge the public on this? The pulse of the public, that is, either of you.
Well, I mean, again, we've got this very fragmented leadership with nine different ideas coming forward sometimes about how to handle public safety, and there isn't consensus, and nor is there strong enough leadership to override that.
Does the public perceive it that way, you think? I mean, nobody's done a poll on this, but that seemed to be the caller's question is when the public is going to really come around and feel passionately in response to.
Well, you have a lot of different opinions in Oakland. It's a very diverse city.
I sure. Mean,
you have people come to council meetings who want gang injunctions and loitering ordinances or curfews, and some people who are just so fed up that they're like, let's just try something. Let's give our police what they ask for. And Bats did ask for those things, and let's move on. And then there are other people who are opposed to all of those, giving police any more power. So, you know, you have fragmented council, you have a fragmented populace. What's the direction of the city? Maybe it's what Mayor Kwan is doing with this crime summit and what will happen going forward. We don't know yet, but that will be critical to see.
You want anything, Sean Maher?
Well, I'd agree with that. I think you can't fault the people of Oakland for being unengaged. There are strong feelings on every side, and everyone's experiencing the crime problem in that city differently. There are people even within the same neighborhood who experience it mostly as victims and people who walk around in fear, and you have people who grow up and feel that the police are on them more than anybody else. That you know, they know their neighborhood well enough to take care of themselves and not get messed with too badly, but that the police roll through and give them a hard time. So you have both of those voices in a city that very much values the democratic process and having a voice. You have an incredibly active average turnout at city council meetings. And it's going to be hard to find consensus. I think Max is right about that.
Gabriel, you're on with us. Good morning.
Hi. Yes, I'm fairly well acquainted with gang culture in San Francisco. And my feeling is that the injunction should be put in place because what it does is that the younger people act as the soldiers and the lookout for the gangs. And Oakland is the regional drug distribution hub. There's a lot of money to be made. I'd say 80-90% of the violence is associated with that, with control of the market. Because gangsters, they're not like they don't use lawyers to settle disputes. It's a federal marketing question. So using an injunction as a tool for the police would actually take away a lot of the, if you will, the army or the soldiers for the shot callers gang. And the same way that the injunction actually helps break up the operations of the gangs because it's harder for them to conduct their business. They can't do it during certain hours and they can't meet with certain people. But that being said, I think that there's a lot of money that's involved, and I think that, unfortunately, that maybe some of the politicians and judicial officials may be swayed by that.
Sean Maher?
I think the injunction itself has become larger as an issue than it is as an actual policy. Even if the injunctions go through and the city gets everything it's asking for, 40 people are going to be controlled to an extent by what's essentially a more criminal version of a restraining order. It's a serious issue. I'm not saying that the people who are concerned about it aren't right to be concerned, but the actual case itself isn't any kind of panacea or any kind of, or really even a citywide issue. It only affects one district and at most 40 people.
Let me thank the caller. Let me go right along to another Oakland caller. Frank, who was at the summit. Frank, you were there? Yeah.
There's currently a dysfunctional relationship between the mayor, the city council, and the police department. And as you mentioned earlier in the show, Chief Batt stated that he resigned. He found himself with limited control but full accountability. I attended that public safety summit on Saturday, and what in Mayor Gene Kwan's neighborhood safety plan ensures that Interim Chief Jordan has full control of the resources he needs to make the streets of Oakland safe without the mayor and the city council micromanaging his efforts. That was completely lacking from this plan that I saw on Saturday.
That was not really in the aegis of the summit at all, was it? I mean, you were there, Sean. Didn't come up, period?
There were two dozen different smaller workshops that got done, so it could have been brought up in rooms that I wasn't in, but I didn't hear it, no.
Some listeners writing in, excuse me, my understanding, one of our listeners writes, is that many American cities with similar populations to Oakland have police forces whose average size is 1,000 to 1,100. Until we address the fact that Oakland is down some 40% from that average and tax ourselves for a significant increase in our police force, we are truly sweeping Lake Merritt back into the estuary with a broom. That's from Dan. Here's a comment from one of our listeners on the web. It says, Forum had David Kennedy on recently, who, like many Oakland politicians on all sides, advocates for programs supporting wraparound services. What Kennedy and the mayor's opponents argue for is both these programs and police enforcement. But the mayor and her council supporter, Desley Brooks, advocate for is only social programs. This is a criminologist who put that comment on the web. Does that seem fair, you gentlemen?
David Kennedy
is a criminologist, yeah.
Sure. I don't think it's fair to say Mayor Kwan only wants social programs. I mean, she is trying to emphasize that she wants police. She's overstating it a bit when she says she keeps bringing back police, which she does, but she's only really replacing attrition. There are about 656 officers in Oakland in February. As of Friday, there were 647, but if you ask her, she's brought back 63. So there's a weird kind of math going on in Oakland when replacing attrition is adding.
That's a new kind of, we've talked about new math in the elementary school. It's a new kind of arithmetic. Another web comment. A Maturin Ross column reports, quote, Batts was particularly upset that the mayor ordered him not to speak before the city council when it recently took up the anti-gang injunctions and curfews for teens that he had requested, end of quote. And I had alluded to that when Mayor Kwan was on earlier. This listener wants to know, is that true? Is it legal to order him not to speak before the city council? Of course, she gave her version, but Sean?
Is it true whether it's legal for the chief's boss to tell him what to do?
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Oh, it's a free country. I don't know that we've had that confirmed one way or another.
Well, I think that the import of the question is, did she muzzle him, really? What do we know on that score, really?
Publicly, what Batts always said is that, you know, it's the job of a department head to do what the boss says, and he would do what Mayor Kwan says. But I think that there's a larger issue going on here, which is how much opposition Mayor Kwan would allow from her inner circle. This is not the team of rivals, Abe Lincoln style government. She's surrounded by a lot of people who are very loyal to her and very committed to her vision. And she's presenting Howard Jordan as somebody along those lines. Now, what happens when Howard Jordan disagrees strongly? Will we know that? And will she let Howard Jordan proceed in a way that she may disagree with?
Another comment on the web. Will someone address the fact that the city of Oakland dropped its city manager form of government when Jerry Brown came to town? Before that, there could be more consistency and stability with the administration of programs adopted by a police chief, let alone some relief from politics disturbing a police chief's duties. I have heard, you know, I mean, the Robert Bob era is, of course, over, but there's a bit of maybe even nostalgia about how much better things were run in those days. I mean, of course, before Dellums took over, too, you know.
I think that's a question really about Deanna Santana, the city administrator that Mayor Kwan has chosen. I mean, from all indications, she's a pretty strong administrator, and we'll really have to see how she handles it. But, you know, her management could well be as good as Robert Bob. We don't know yet. She just started in August, so we have to give her a little bit of time.
She's still in the honeymoon phase. Alex, you're our next caller. Join us. Hi. Alex, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here. Thank you very much. My name is Alex. I live in West Oakland, and I'm also a business and property owner here. And what I want to talk about is the parcel tax and my support for the parcel tax. And I want to say that I did not vote for Jin Kwan. I am slowly becoming a supporter of her. And I think the important part here for all of us to remember in the city is that we have to give our officials the tools that they need, and we don't have revenue, we don't have the money, we don't have the tools to give them, and we keep asking of them. I go to City Hall and I hear everybody screaming, but you know, it's only 25 cents a day. It's not a whole lot of money. We can all do that. We spend much more in coffee. So I just like to use this space to remind all of my neighbors here in Oakland to consider this. It's very little. We can do it.
Well, if you want to be an active citizen and you live in Oakland, you ought to be reminded that they have a mail-only special election on November 15th, but voting starts today. And let me thank you for that call, and we'll go right to another caller, and that's Bruce. Bruce, join us.
Hi, this is Bruce Nye with Make Oakland Better Now. Hi, Mathai. Hi, Sean.
Morning, Bruce.
I was interested to hear Chief Jordan mention the department's strategic plan for a couple of reasons. One is I didn't hear any mention of it at the summit, and albeit I wasn't at every event and I missed the last half hour or so. But I also remember that the key goal of the strategic plan was to make Oakland one of the safest cities in California. And I'm interested whether the guests there have heard anything about that from the city recently, about when it might be achieved, and also whether they know of any major cities that have significantly reduced crime while they reduced the size of their police force by 20 or 25%.
Yeah. Mathai?
Well, we heard Chief Jordan say earlier that the strategic plan is something he's still committed to and that Mayor Kwan is still committed to. He did not say when or how that's going to be done, particularly with limited forces. So we'll have to see that.
Again, we're going to wait and see on that. Do you want to add anything, Sean? Sean Maher?
I think that there definitely is a problem with staffing the department. Obviously, everyone's kind of trying to find a way around that. There isn't really a clear way forward to build it back up. That was one thing. Former Mayor Ron Dellums gets a lot of flack for not having been around as much as people would have liked and not being a particularly strong presence in the community. But he did get the department up to 803 officers. And from here, there doesn't seem to be a clear path to return to that.
Another web comment. I'm a resident of North Oakland, which is not part of the 100 blocks. The general feeling up here is that because the Oakland Police Department is so shorthanded, this focus on the hotspots will mean that if we aren't in the 100 blocks, we just won't get much police coverage at all. We don't have shootings up here, thank God, but we do have burglaries and auto thefts all the time. People here are so discouraged that they don't even report the crimes, which gives everyone a false impression that there's no crime. Well, disproportionately, he may have a point, huh? I mean, especially with a limited number of police officers?
It's a huge concern for council members. To go back just a little bit, this whole data-driven policing is something that Batts has helped bring in and make a more integral part of the department. He reconfigured the department earlier this summer to put more resources in Oakland – and in East Oakland, sorry. And the reason is the crime is very geographically focused, violent crime. The city is divided into 35 policing beats. 65% of all the homicides and violent crime occur in just 4 beats in East Oakland. Another 27% of the violent crime occur in 4 beats in West Oakland. So 92%, I don't know how the 100 blocks line up with those beats, but, we have a huge need to address violent crime in those areas. And when this was brought up before the council, the council members representing the Hills, North Oakland, all of them were extremely concerned that this would mean less for them.
There's part of your... Well, again, the word fragmentation, I mean, in terms of constituencies, really. And we go to East Oakland and welcome Nick. You're on. Good morning.
Yes, hello. So I live in East Oakland, and I work in West Oakland. And I think a big part of the reason why the people in the community don't have trust in the police is some of these same corners have been active for 20 years. Crime, the same gangs, the same gang members, the same families. We believe that in some way police are on the take. And while there's, certainly a shortage of officers, for years, the same neighborhoods, I mean, we just think there's a blind eye turned either purposefully or unintentionally, but it's starting to feel purposefully.
Very serious charge. Either of you have any light to shed on that kind of charge?
I would just say, Sean, feel free to jump in. But the loitering ordinance that the city does not have was specifically discussed for city council 2 weeks ago. That would have addressed a lot of these things. Kids who are handing out money, kids who are, watching out for police. This would have handled all that drug-related loitering. And the council decided to delay that kind of enforcement, which addresses the exact type of behavior that this caller is bringing up.
You want to add anything, Sean Maher?
No, I'm just going to step that
way. All right. Here's a listener, Marilyn, who writes, as an Oakland Flatlands resident for 17 years, I fully support Mayor Kwan's reduction plan. In my view, if we are to lower crime significantly and permanently, it's necessary to have both police action and across-the-board measures to increase jobs, to increase recreation activities for youth, and to work in a wraparound way with the problems of joblessness, poverty, homelessness, and hunger that affect a large portion of the people in this city. And we'll bring another caller on here, and that's Jill. Jill,
hi. Morning. Yes. Good morning. I just want to say that, you know, for the last, I would say, probably about 6 years, we've been looking at this program of having programs available to at-risk youth, people that have been familiar with crime before, and police, partnering with police. And I would say that there is a big populace out there that feels we need more police. And I think it's a very simple equation, if you will, that unless businesses feel that Oakland takes crime seriously and is willing to bring the crime rate down, they will not come here. And what that in turn does is keep our tax revenue down. And the simple, answer has always been to implement a parcel tax on property owners. And it's very frustrating for property owners and businesses, I think, to see that City Hall and the mayor is not really taking what they consider a serious approach to bringing crime down. Businesses will not come here. They will choose other cities that have better programs as far as incentives and police programs that invite businesses and in turn raise tax revenue in those cities outside of Oakland.
Thank you for the call. I don't know if either of you want to comment, Sean or Mathai, but I'm suddenly thinking about that $80 parcel tax, but also the strife with the unions, which also is something we haven't touched on yet. I mean, it's ongoing as well, and it's part of a big part of the picture, isn't it?
Well, the Oakland Police Officers Association is a very powerful organized body in the city. They have a lot of control over their own contract with the city. The city did get, after a long time trying to negotiate it with them, they did get a pension contribution from Oakland police officers. But they remain they have a lot of sway. One of the things that actually is talked about in terms of was there a straw that broke the camel's back with Batts departing was that he had tried to get a high-ranking officer from the San Francisco Police Department to come over to Oakland. The Oakland Police Officers Association took some umbrage at that and ended up taking it to City Hall and finally winning a decision from the city administrator to keep that guy out. His name was Godown.
In fact, he ran for police chief here, or was seeking police chief here in San Francisco, that is. But there was also suddenly the revelation that Chief Batts had been in the competition for police chief of San Jose.
That was a big turnaround, I think, in his career in Oakland. His first year when he arrived in town, he spent a lot of time going out into the community and a lot of time talking to, you know, religious organizations and social groups and was incredibly popular, had a lot of support from basically everybody in town.
And the violent crime numbers were down, going down too.
Violent crime went way down.
Yeah.
And when people found out about the San Jose job and his candidacy there, I think he lost a lot of support and a lot of trust.
Another web comment, I admire the job that the Oakland Police do. I wish you had asked the new chief, but please have your guests address the effect on funding of Oakland Police from the police not contributing enough to their own pensions. I spoke with an Oakland policeman, and he said, we work hard and we shouldn't have to contribute. Many jobs could have been saved if they had agreed to contribute. Lots of people do. They're against the nature of the conflict we're talking about here.
I just want to correct that, though, that they actually are now contributing.
They are indeed. But for a while, put people off by their refusal or unwillingness or however you want to characterize it. Another listener, Marlene, writes, you should remind listeners that the proposed parcel tax contains no allocations for increased funding for public safety whatsoever. City officials can spend this money basically however they like and are not obligated to increase the size of the police force at all. In addition, you should remind listeners and the previous emailer, Dan, the taxpayers already agreed to increase their taxes in the form of Measure Y in order to increase the size of the police force, and the size of the force did not increase. And Mike from East Oakland says, for Oakland's mayor and council, crime is a political problem. They deal with it in a way that keeps them in office, playing off one group against another rather than really taking on the problem. For Oakland as a whole, crime is a problem with enormous social and economic costs. Oakland has been stuck with too much crime for a very long time. To take crime away from politics as usual, why not create a police commissioner? Which has been done in many cities like San Francisco. A commissioner might be appointed very quickly to put together a real crime plan and to separate it from politics. That might really work. Been any talk along those lines? Any suggestions that either of you have heard?
None that I've heard.
No. But what about the criticism that politics is much too tied into police work in Oakland?
It's a huge issue. I'm just amazed at council meetings how extensive the political discussion is, and often without a resolution.
Want to add anything here, Sean?
Well, there's also a criticism I hear pretty frequently about the city council, which is that you can get them to do anything you want if you bring 50 angry people to a meeting.
That's pretty disheartening. Obviously hyperbole.
It's not completely fair, but you can see the council respond. And it is a democracy. You want civic engagement. You want people coming out and making their voices heard and having an impact. But there is some concern that there's not such a strong direction from our leaders themselves.
Yep. Mathai?
Just to go back to the OP08 discussion, this is the other politics in the city. Mayor Kwan's relationship with the union has been fraught for well over a year. She was locking arms at a Oscar Grant protest. Police saw that as her interfering. She's frequently made a point of saying 85% of officers live outside the city, which, again, antagonizes the OPOA. So when it comes to this parcel tax, which would even help police officers, the OPOA has been neutral because they're, even though it would theoretically help police, they're neutral because they don't feel convinced the money will actually go to the police department.
Well, what happens if it doesn't pass?
If it doesn't pass, we could be down to 600 or less officers by next year, June or July of next year. And, considering that we were at 837 just in November of 2008, I believe, that's a pretty dramatic decline.
Yeah, I think Chip Johnson said it could happen even if it does pass, get down to that number. We've got seconds left. Consent decree, where do you see it going? Any predictions, any crystal balls, anything like that? We're up in the air.
I think Santana and Mayor Kwan actually were lauded by the court monitor for actually being fully committed, and he said that they were a refreshing change from the previous administration. Now, whether being refreshing change from Ron Dellums is that much praise, we don't know. But from that perspective, they look good.
So much to cover and wait and see. Thank you both for really the yeoman work you're doing covering Oakland and for the yeoman work you did here on the air this morning. Sean Maher is reporter covering Oakland City Hall for the Tribune, the Oakland Tribune, and Mathai Kuruvilla covers Oakland for the San Francisco Chronicle. Thanks also to Mayor Gene Kwan and to acting interim Oakland Police Chief Howard Jordan. Up ahead, another hour.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.